we'll talk a little more about how to use the intellect correctly. It's a very beautiful verse, which is tasmat, therefore. You know, whenever Bhagavan gives some argument, then he says, what is the result of this argument? Tasmat, you know, therefore. So in verse number 41, tasmat vamindriyan yadav. Niyamya bharatarshabha. Papmanam prajahihenam. Jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, tvam, you, indriyani, the sense organs, adav, in the beginning, niyamya, having controlled this sense organs, and Bharata, Rishabha. Rishabha means the bull of the Bharata family. Arjuna belonged to the Bharata family. Now you say, oh, he's calling him a bull. Is that not an insult? No, it's like when you call somebody a lion among men. That's a compliment. Or he has eyes like a hawk. So those are compliments. So why he was called bull? Because India was an agricultural economy in those days. And in a bull is most important in agriculture. In those days, they didn't have tractors. So the bull was required to pull the plow and plow the land. Also, the bull was the one that took the cart to the town, you know, when the produce was ready for selling, and then to get seeds and supplies. So bull is a very important animal in the agricultural economy of India. So he's calling him Bharat Rishabha, the best among the Bharata family. Tasmatvam indriyani adav, having controlled the sense organs, what do you do? Prajahi. Jahi means kill, destroy. Prajahi means prakarshena jahi. Completely destroy enam. Enam, this desire, and what is it? Papmanam. It is a sinful desire. Why? Because it destroys your jnana and vijnana. Jnana is knowledge. And vijnana, visheshana jnana, means wisdom. So what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? We think they are the same. No. Knowledge is what I have heard. It becomes vijnanam when I actually experience it. Like I have heard about Alaska. I have searched it on the internet. My friends went, told me it's so beautiful. So that is good. But when I actually get on the cruise ship and then I go to Alaska and then I take the seaplane and go over, see all the beauty, the ice cap and the mountains. Ah, wow. That is vijnana. Because what I knew about Alaska, I have actually experienced. So this desire destroys our knowledge and our wisdom, nashanam. Now, three places it hides. Gurudev in his commentary gives it very dramatically. You're watching a movie and there is this criminal. He's a top gangster. He has killed so many people. He's a thief, a decoy. And the police is chasing him. And he has three homes where he hides, three places. One is his own headquarters where he has the secret underground tunnels where he hides, like a basement. Second is his mother's home, and third is his beloved's home. And he keeps changing, and he wears disguise, and one day he's here, one never lives in the same place at any given day. Every day he lives in a new home. And then in the movie you watch, finally the police have all the proof, and they are watching, and they have identified all the three homes where he is hiding. And they are waiting for him in the hallway, you know, of the fourth floor. And then slowly the elevator opens and he comes out. And before he can move, they pounce on him. He takes out his gun and tries to kill them. And they shoot him because they have no choice. And that's how the criminal is caught. So similarly, that's what Bhagavan says, that this criminal called desire is hiding in three places, body, mind and intellect. And your goal is to destroy the desire, take it out. It does not mean not having desire, but do not let desire have you. See, I own an object, but if the object owns me, that is when it becomes a problem. And it could be anything. It could even be a family member, a spouse, a child. It could be an object, could be a post, position, power. The desire for power is so strong, the lust for power, that once this person gets it, then we see how bad it is currently in politics, how much conflict this has become. So how do we overcome this desire? So it is hiding in three places. So first they say, at the sense level, don't go there. Suppose you are an alcoholic, do not go into a bar. Your friends will say, come on, you know, just keep us company. You can have a Diet Coke. You don't have to drink. No, if a person has the tendency to alcohol and is trying to overcome, do not go there. Same thing, if you are trying to overcome an eating situation and, you want to lose weight and all, avoid restaurants. And actually, when you're trying to lose weight, you'll find that all the ads on TV are food. Carl's Jr. and McDonald's and KFC and Pizza Hut. Actually, that's true. When I started this 16-hour, I'm doing this 16-hour fast intermittently. And I don't know where we were walking, and every restaurant I was noticing. Until now, I'm used to it. Now it doesn't bother me. But that's typically happens. You know, your mind is so focused. So do not go to those places. Avoid them. Or if you go, control your mind. It's okay. I don't need it. It's not good for me. This thing is harmful. So avoid it by the physical level or at the mind level. Do not look for joy, because you know this joy is temporary, and sooner or later this joy will turn into sorrow, whether it's a person or whether it's an object. Person will turn love you one day, tomorrow, no, I don't love you. Object, same thing. After a while, the same object gives you sorrow. The car you loved so much, once it gets old, or the house, once it gets old, starts giving you sorrow. Job or position or power, it seems wonderful, but then once you get into it, realize that nothing will give me permanent joy. And at the intellectual level, with the right understanding, and become a witness. When the intellect says, let us repeat the experience, you watch the thoughts and say, okay, this desire is arising, but I am not the desire. I am that consciousness, Om Brahman. This intellect is raising this desire, but I am not going to get involved. So that's what you do. And in those of you who do yoga, Patanjali's Ashtang Yoga, where there are eight limbs, and it starts with Yama and Niyama. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. So Yama is control of my relationships, and Niyama is control of my body. Just close that, please. So Yama is my relationships, how I deal with the world, Satyam and truthfulness and all. And Niyama is how I regulate, like living in Brahmacharya, self-control, Shaucham, purity and all that. So these are the two preliminary. And then, of course, there is asana, which is the physical exercises, pranayam, breathing. Pratyahar means withdraw from things that are wrong. Dharana means the firm determination. And then dhyana is meditation. And then samadhi is the complete merger, where I am no longer exist and I become one with that. But people directly sit, I want to meditate. So they watch some video somewhere and they sit to meditate. But Patanjali Maharishi says, start with Yama and Niyama. At least learn to control your senses and control your mind. Otherwise, when you sit for meditation, I also have been meditating, and it still happens certain days, any and every thought comes. And it's a struggle. And as the more you practice, the more you are able to do that. You're able to control your mind and keep it centered in the self. And so progress is gradual. It is stepwise. You cannot directly say, I'm going to become an enlightened master. I'm going to meditate. Yes, we should. But as you are meditating and studying, practice yama and niyama, control your body, mind, and control my contacts with the world, how I deal with the world. And it is a stepwise. It is, as they say, a journey of 1,000 miles. Start with a single step. So start with yama and niyama. That's what Bhagavan says. Niyamya, control your sense organs. First, adav, in the beginning, control your sense organs. If you have no control over your sense organs or your speech or your, where are you going to progress spiritually and go towards the highest? So you start with that and then you progress. It does not, again, does not mean you stay at the sense organs, mind and intellect. You go stepwise, control the mind, control the intellect, and then ultimately go higher, which we'll do in the next verse. But people say, last time I want to enjoy this. There is no last time, because you should say no. Learn to say no to your body, learn to say no to your mind, learn to say no. Does not mean that you walk around like a monk. No, but I have to decide what I'm going to eat, what emotions are going to arise in my mind, what thoughts. I decide, let my body, mind, and intellect not control me. They say, be master, just as a car. If you are driving, now they have these auto, you know, driven cars, and the car drives itself, and you don't have to do anything. But they still say the driver has to sit and be alert, because at any moment, he or she may be required. So similarly, this body, mind, and intellect are my car. They are driving, but I have to be alert and make sure the car does not go in the wrong direction. So I have to control it. So there is no last time. There is a very beautiful story. I was listening to Swamiji's commentary about Dhundukari. It's a very interesting story. It's in Srimad Bhagavat. So they say there was this man named Atmadev. And he had a wife named Dhunduli. Dhunduli was their wife. And when the son was born, they named him Dhundukari. I guess the mother wanted her name there. And they had prayed to God for many years, because they didn't have a child for many years. And they went to all the pilgrim places and prayed. And finally, a son was born. They named him Dhundukari. Now, as this son grew up, he was a terror. He was so bad. He would beat other children, throw them in the well, steal their lunch, abusive, cursing other children. And every day complaints would come. And finally, the father got fed up. He says, I wished for a son. I didn't wish for such a son. He just could not take it anymore. Well, what can I do? And then that time a guru appeared. His name was Gokarna. And that's what happens when you're looking for guidance, the Lord sends. And this Gokarna was a very wise individual, and he told him the whole situation. Look, my son is like that. And so Gokarna says, this son of yours, I can see that you cannot control him. He is beyond help. You know, what should I do, Maharaj? He says, renounce. Go to the forest. That's the only solution for you. You cannot live with this son. And as long as he's living, you will not be happy. You will be miserable. You are looking for a solution. Okay, so he gives up everything, puts on orange clothes, goes to the forest, meditates, seeks knowledge, stays with Rishi, and becomes free. Now this Dhundukari becomes even worse, because little bit father had little bit of control on him. That is also gone. And mother, he doesn't care for. So then he got into bad habits, drinks and drugs and alcohol and all bad habits. And he would take things from the home and sell them. He sold his mother's jewelry and all the things in the house, everything. And mother finally couldn't take it. So she jumped in the well and left her body. Now Dhundukari has the whole house. So what does he do? He invites 5 prostitutes. Come and live in my house. So they come and live, and he's indulging and enjoying. But prostitutes demand, right? We need money, we need food, we need this, clothes, blah, blah. And all his money soon is finished, all the things have been sold, valuables. And how can he satisfy these five girls? So he goes and commits a big crime, a huge robbery he steals. And the king's people are searching and they finally identify. They think that this is the guy, Dhundhukari. And so they are coming to get him. The net is closing. And these five girls realize that this guy, if he gets caught, we also get caught. We'll also get trouble. So they were strong. They tied him up. Five of them got tied him up and hung him from the ceiling. He died and those five girls ran away. So the story ends there. But why are we telling this horrible story in the Gita class? Because it is us. It is our life. It is not somebody thousands of years ago, there was some Atmadev and there was some Dhundhukari, Dhunduli. It is us. Atmadev is us, this jiva, this individuality, mind, intellect, and vasanas, that is us. And we, Dhunduli, represents wrong understanding, wrong vision. So when I marry wrong understanding, wrong vision, then the product of that is wrong intellect, bad thinking. Because my vision is wrong, then my thinking is wrong, then my actions are wrong. So the end result is a horrible offspring, that is this wrong intellect, wrong action. And then Gokarna represents the guru who comes in our life and gives us the right knowledge. Now we have a choice whether to listen to my guru, to my teaching of Bhagwan, Sri Krishna, or do I stay the way I was? If I stay, I will suffer. The idea is to leave all that and turn your mind towards God. And the five girls that he was attracted to are the five sense organs, which just take over our life. I want this. I want to see this. I want to hear this. I want to eat this. I want to touch this. I want to possess it. Seeing, hear, smell, taste, touch. So these five sense organs have us under their grip. And if you do not control them, you will perish. So that is the beauty. It's a very, very beautiful story. Swami Bodhatmananda ji in his commentary tells this story. And it's in the Srimad Bhagavat. How many people know difference between Srimad Bhagavat and Bhagavad Gita? Maybe she knows. Okay, well, what is it? Sujata.
Bhagavad
Gita is part of Mahabharata.
Srimad Bhagavat is Das Avataras, the whole story of the Lord,
yes,
the 10 incarnations.
Right. That's the complete answer. Yes, in Srimad Bhagavat, the entire 10 incarnations of Bhagavan Sri Vishnu are given, and most of the emphasis is on Sri Krishna's life. So Sri Krishna's life is covered in extreme detail. Actually, there is on ZTV, there is a serial going on, Sri Krishna Paramavatar. And my mother-in-law watches it, but the details they have in that, a lot of the stories even I didn't know. So if I come from work, if I happen to be, I watch it. So Bhagavat is the Das Avataras of Bhagavan Sri Vishnu. So Dhundhukari is the story. So how do I get out of this? They say do tapas, do austerity, decide. What am I going to do? What am I not going to do? What am I going to eat? What am I not going to eat? What am I going to speak? What am I not going to speak? What am I going to enjoy? What am I not going to enjoy? So tapas is austerity where you regulate what you do, and that can only come through practice. So tapas comes through practice. That's why, of course, tapas in our vernacular means a person sitting on a rock, in the mountains and rain and cold and for years. Of course, that is a very extreme, very evolved state to be in. But for you and me, as we are working in the world, live a life of self-control. And that's why the grahastha ashrama, this householder's life we give, we are going through, is meant for evolution. Because in householder's life, we are given freedom to enjoy. Enjoy the sense pleasures, but within limits. And so live a life of moderation, self-control, and slowly as you go through that, that's why they have brahmacharya, the student, then the householder's life. And then householder's life becomes vanaprastha. As I become a senior, I slowly withdraw from the world and do not get involved too much in children, grandchildren. I love them, and whenever I need, I help them, but my mind is now turning towards God. And fourth stage is sannyasa, where then I have nothing to do with the world. God alone is my goal. So that is tapas. That through the householder's life also, we can slowly evolve. That's why this whole four ashramas have been created in our scriptures. A beautiful example is Ravana. And Ravana is said to have 10 heads. You know, and Sri Rama, the Lord, had to destroy this evil demon called Ravana. But 10 heads is very symbolic. Again, it represents us. Because we have 5 sense organs and 5 organs of action. So eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. And how do I enjoy? Hands, feet, speech, genital organs, organs of procreation. So through my organs of action, I enjoy all these. I want to possess. I want to go there and get it. I want to enjoy. I want more. So this 10-headed monster is our sense organs and organs of action. And who can only destroy it? The Lord. Lord Sri Rama, when he appears in our life, then this 10-headed monster can be destroyed. So Ravana, so all these stories are very symbolic. It's not that, oh, in some Treta Yuga there was this demon and Rama appeared and he destroyed and we read the story and we are very happy. But how can I bring Ramayan in my life? How can I bring Ramchandra Ji, Bhagwan, in my life? How can I remove these demons from my... So that is the purpose of this. So how do I destroy? It seems very difficult. Seems very difficult. They say, take help. Take help of somebody who can help you. For example, you are sick. And if you have a minor flu, your own body, you know, if you have taken a flu shot, the vaccine, and you have taken vitamins, it will get rid of the flu. But suppose a bad infection comes and you have a pneumonia and all that, then a flu shot is already past that and the vitamins are not going to help. So what do? You go to a doctor and take the help of antibiotics. Even though antibiotics are very, have a lot of side effects, but I don't have a choice. I am so sick. So you take the help of antibiotics. Or with nations, you know, one nation wants to defeat another, or in the politics, one party wants to defeat another party. So what do? The nation goes to another nation that is strong and says, come on, let's two of us get together and defeat this nation. Or in politics, two parties get together, they make, especially in India, it's very common, they make a coalition and then they rule. So take the help of somebody that is strong that will help us to overcome. So that is what this idea is, that take the help of somebody stronger so that you gain strength from that.